We have entered a brand new year. It's good to see those of you that are out, those of you watching by way of live stream. We welcome you. And I'm encouraged about this year. I'm encouraged about 2025. If we're reading it from the Hebrew or Jewish calendar, 5785, I love the fives on both ends there. And when I thought about 25, it's five times five. It's extraordinary grace released. And when God spoke that to me, I've just been pressing into it and having my leaders and teachers press into it as well. When Seth shared the word that he came up and shared, and he talked about the high places, one of the things he was referring to was the word that I spoke on, part of the word that I spoke on New Year's Eve. I want to reiterate it. I had made sure that I brought at least a copy with me, because here's what I want us to grab a hold of, particularly as we come into this year. Today we start our 21-day fast, time of prayer and consecration. And I want to tell you, if you give yourself to it the way that the Father desires, you are going to be incredibly blessed. You're going to be incredibly blessed. And I want to speak to that. But one of the ways God has moved in my life and continues to move in my life, he will always speak a word to me that helps to calibrate and recalibrate me. And I don't mind telling you that as I'm here now, I'm finding myself just really praying and saying, God, where are the folk? Where are the people? And then I've learned not to stay stuck there. Okay? I'm thinking to myself, now this is just me talking to myself, thinking to myself, you know, where are people? And then while I was in the midst of worship and just focusing on the Lord, he just reminded me, he said, just remember what I told you. Just remember what I told you. And so it was August 16th, 2024, in Michigan that God spoke this word. And part of it, when Zaph was talking about those high places, he was really in part referring to this word, part of this word that I shared, and it's this. This came from Prophet Ron Campbell. It says, Apostle John, if the mountain was smooth, you'd never be able to climb it. Bill. If the mountain was smooth, you'd never be able to climb it. But the mountain has been rough and the mountain has been hard. But guess what? And I love this part. But guess what? You're at the top. You're at the top. You're at the top. It says, and let me tell you, this is the word. Nothing that the enemy tries to form against you will prosper, because the journey of faith that has taken you to get up to the top of the mountain has equipped you, trained you, and educated you. I said this on New Year's Eve. I said, you can't keep living in the mindset that you're on your way there. At some point, you got to say, I'm here. You got to say, I have arrived. And so when I heard this word there in Michigan, I said, thank you, Jesus. I receive it. Because these last few years have been challenging for us in acquiring this property. I don't know if you know, but we own this, the whole thing. And it's a weight and it's a responsibility. I thank God for the team that he set in place. But this word speaks to me when it says, yeah, it's been challenging, it's been rough, it's been hard, but guess what? You're at the top. You don't want to keep circling the mountain. You don't want to keep going up and coming back down, going up and coming back down. You want to get to the top. But here's more of the word that was shared that I didn't say. It says, and God put you in that position, he said, in Cincinnati, but I know it's this region, because there's going, hear this, because there's going to come an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like you've never seen in that region. Amen. It's going to begin in worship, and there's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. So let me say that again, and I need three of y'all to join the two that said something just to get a little more excited about it. I know we're few in number today, but listen, it only takes a few. You don't need a lot of people. You just need the right people. I believe the right people are here. I believe the right people are here. I believe the right people are here. Yeah, Eric, just play a chord or something. Just. I'm going to create atmosphere if I got to do it by myself here for the next 30, 40 minutes. Hallelujah. 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 You can't stay stuck on what you see in the natural. You got to press through to see in the spirit realm, whatever you're challenged with, whatever you're dealing with. You can't stay stuck in the natural. You got to see yourself crossing that finish line. You got to see yourself prospering. You got to see yourself healed. You got to see yourself successful. You got to see yourself blessed. You got to see yourself walking in the plans and purposes of God. You got to see yourself there, and you got to say, I'm there right now. I'm not always on my way. I will not always be on my way. I'm here right now. I'm here right now. There's going to come an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like you've never seen in the region. It's going to begin in worship, and there's going to be signs, wonders, and miracles. And God's going to break the spirit of poverty over the city. I need about five. Come on. He's breaking the spirit of poverty over this city and over this region. If you're watching my way of live stream, just holler something. I can't hear you anyway, so just holler anything. And he says this, and when I talk about poverty, it's not just about money. Poverty is a spirit. And what it is a lack of revelation. A lot of churches suffer with that because they don't have revelation of who He is. They have revelation about people, but they don't have revelation about Him. But there's going to come an outpouring of the Holy Spirit like never seen before. It says, so get ready. Because the next 2 years is going to be a romance with the Holy Spirit. It's going to be, hear this now, it's going to be people are going to come from the north, the south, the east, and west. Prepare. Prepare. Be bold, be courageous. As you worship, I tell you, there's going to be angelic visitation to the city through the work that you are doing. That's a word from God. That's a word from God. And I receive that word even as I look around and say, it ain't quite matching yet. But I want to talk to you about this year of extraordinary grace released. Extraordinary grace released. There's two scriptures that came to mind as Holy Spirit began to speak this to me. One is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. It says, that passing laws against sin did was produce lawbreakers. But sin didn't and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, grace wins hands down. In this season of extraordinary grace released, church, we've got to focus on, in the midst of everything going on, there is extraordinary grace that's being released. I want you to understand that grace is being released and will be released as you and I particularly give ourselves over the next 21 days. As we yield ourselves and we begin to seek God and we begin to cry out to the Lord, we begin to repent, change, posture ourselves, as it said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 through 16. It says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, simply meaning that you don't give up in the midst of the challenges. We have a high priest And you know the function of the priest was to intercede on behalf of the people. We have a high priest who's interceding for us. Excuse me, says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, so for that reason, let us draw near with confidence. Say confidence. I want to tell you something. In this year of extraordinary grace release, God is calling you and I to walk in a place of confidence, not timidity, not wondering, will God ever do it for me? The reality is he's been doing stuff for you. If you will just focus in and acknowledge that, you have a greater sensitivity to the more that he wants to do. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Whatever your need may be, whatever need that's out there in the future, grace has already been allotted. Grace has already been assigned to it. The key is for you and I to continue to walk in faith. A statement for our house is, when faith is extended, grace is released. When we say it's when faith is extended, we're saying when you are operating in faith, when you are working in faith. The Bible says faith without works is dead. It's useless. But when you and I put action to our faith, that's what causes God to release the grace. The woman with the issue of blood extended her faith. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I don't need to talk to him. I don't need a counseling session. I don't need an appointment. If I can just get in the crowd, work my way through the crowd, and just touch him. When faith is extended, grace is released. Virtue left his body. He said, somebody touched me. They said, wait a minute. Jesus, we're in the crowd. Everybody's touching each other. He says, no, I had a different kind of touch. I want to tell you that in this season of extraordinary grace release, God wants us to press in. Find that place, that touch that produces something. Draw on him, pull on him. That's what the word says here. Let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy, find grace with help in the time of need. Ask. Just simply ask. Ask and believe. In this year of extraordinary grace released, I want you to focus on it in two ways as you go throughout the year. One is that grace, that word charis, God's unmerited favor. Now listen, towards humanity and especially his people. You see, everyone receives grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. There is that saving grace that we benefit from that's available to the world. But in the scriptures, when it talks about grace, it talks about that unmerited favor, or it talks about favor operating in your life. And there is, I believe, as we go into this year of extraordinary grace, that there's going to be favor opportunities. I'm saying favor is just going to be there. But you have to have the expectation of the favor. You have to recognize that certain things have already been set in place for you for this year. Let me say it again. Certain things have already been set in place for you this year. There are people already set in place for you this year. And as you understand that and walk in that, you're going to feel the favor. You're going to know that the favor is there. Favor is interesting. Favor is like flavor is to food. You don't necessarily see it, but you know it's not when it's not there. You know how you can taste this. It looked good, but this ain't got nothing on it. favor is like flavor. It's the food. But the moment you align your plans with God's plans, favor begins to move all around you. This year of extraordinary grace released, I want you to understand that grace is going to be active in that area of favor. It's going to be active in that area of favor. And I want to speak to a few points as I get to the end. I want you to understand that the grace that's available to you and I is also the empowering grace. So when we talk about the grace of God, one of the phrases we have used is the instantaneous enablement by God in the power of Holy Spirit to do or say something beyond one's natural ability in order to fulfill a specific purpose of God in the time in which God permits it. There are appointed times. There are appointed things to get done in your life, in your lifetime, in various seasons of your life, and there is grace connected with it. There is empowerment connected with it. There are things that God wants to do in you, through you, that are beyond you. That's the way he works in all of us. In the natural, this building was beyond me. But I dared to believe that it wasn't beyond God. I like those scriptures that say, with men, these things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You see, God will show you something that he knows in your finite mind, you will think it to be impossible. But he doesn't want us to always try to reason it. There's a level of faith that just says, okay. There's a place of faith that just says, okay. So while there is the grace, the favor that we see there in particularly when we look in the Old Testament and we talk about Noah found favor. Because Noah walked with God. Key right there. You want the favor of God? Walk with God. You want the favor of God operating in your life? Walk with God. You want the favor of God operating in your life? Walk upright before God. Guaranteed favor. Guaranteed favor. It was quiet. I didn't get an amen out of that or an oh my or help me Jesus. You want to experience the favor? Walk with God. Recognize that he's going to speak to you just like he spoke to Noah. Let's just talk about Noah. How is it that God can tell the man, I want you to build an ark, build a boat, because it's going to rain? Not today. It ain't going to rain today. It ain't going to rain tomorrow. But it's going to rain 120 years from now. Get to building. Had never heard of rain, never seen rain. But with the invitation, with the directive given, grace was available. In 2025, extraordinary grace released, look for the favor. You want to be where the favor is. Look for the favor. The favor can be a small thing. It can be a simple thing. I want you to understand, the more you acknowledge the favor of God, the more you will experience the favor of God. The more you will see the favor of God. It's a small thing, but I have favor at UDF. I got favor at UDF. Everyone that I go to. I go in, I get me a cup of coffee, I walk up to the desk and I put it down. They look at me and say, oh, you're good. Thank you very much. So now I have an expectation that favor, Eddie, gonna kick in every time I'm there. Now, I don't mind paying, but I'm trying to give you an illustration of favor and operation that you acknowledge this is the favor of God. Now, what I've learned to do, though, is at the same time, I may be in there and I see someone else getting a cup of coffee. And they see that. What am I doing? I'm extending favor. I'm extending grace. I'm extending blessing. I'm sowing. You see, the more you model it and others see it, you become a benefactor of it. In this year of extraordinary grace, I want you to raise your expectation of the grace of God being evidenced in the small things that'll show up in the big things as well. There's the grace where God will simply put on you a specific grace to get something done. Some call it special grace, specific and extraordinary grace bestowed by God for particular purposes in the life of an individual or the life of a church, often associated with, now I love this, divine intervention. Say divine intervention. Oh, I'm believing this year for some divine interventions. I'm believing for some divine interventions. Divine interventions. I'm talking about where God just moves on it himself. Divine intervention, where God comes in and moves in a situation that has seemed to be impossible. Divine intervention. This is a year of extraordinary grace released. Divine intervention. Raise your expectation. Expect them. Anybody need some divine intervention right now? Just come on, just thank him for it. God, I thank you for divine intervention. 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 That divine intervention may show up in angelic intervention. Angels unaware working on your behalf. Angels working right now. Divine intervention. Associated with divine intervention. Inspirations, creative ideas. For some of you, I need you to recognize that that dream, that goal, that vision you had, that grace is still sitting there. The grace is still sitting there. It's up to you. It's up to you. You don't want to stand before God and he says, you know, you could have done that. You really could have done that. I know it seemed large to you, but it wasn't large to me. All I needed you to do was say yes and stay the course. Say yes and stay the course. Say yes and stay the course. Because we can look at one example after another through the scriptures of all the opposition that came when someone was given a vision, given a dream, given an assignment, and they had to contend for it to become a reality. That's where the grace kicks in. That's where the divine intervention kicks in. What inspiration is there that still causes to, still churns on the inside of you, that causes you to still recognize, I'm doing this, but I'm still not as fulfilled? I'm telling you that the grace is there. The grace is there. It says that this kind of grace is also, it's often associated with divine intervention, inspiration, empowerments to go beyond the general grace that God bestows upon all humanity. That's that saving grace. Divine assistance given by God to individuals in specific moments and situations. Now, let me point to scripturally now just how grace is meted out. Grace is available to you and I. So Romans 12, verses 1 through 8. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service of worship, a reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. I want you to understand, in order to walk in the place of favor and grace, you have to do it out of a renewed mind. You've got to do it out of a renewed mind. God never intended for you and I to think we have to work it up, work it out on our own. You've got to do it through a renewed mind. You're not in it all by yourself. And be not conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, or what you will approve. I'm sorry, I got two translations going in my head at the same time. You will prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. That's from the King James. And then it says this: for through the grace given to me, now this is Paul talking, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. The measure of faith. Then it goes on and says, for just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, may be similar, but they're not the same. So we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. You want to stay within your measure of grace. God is increasing grace. Listen, God is increasing grace and favor as you steward the grace and favor that's already in your life right now. The church has lost much of its power and effectiveness because we have individuals operating outside of their place of grace and their place of favor. A title in and of itself doesn't give you power. It doesn't give you any real authority. The title doesn't give you grace. Grace gives you the ability to function in whatever place, wherever God sets you. In this year of extraordinary grace released, God is looking for those who have stewarded the grace well to this point, and he's saying, I'm calling you to another level now. I've always intended for you to be part of my solution in 2025 and moving forward. For some of you, you kind of felt like you've been sitting on the bench. Well, now you're up. Now you're up. Now you're up. Come on, say, now I'm up. Ephesians 4, 1 through 7, it says this: therefore I, a prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Why would he feel the need to write that? He's writing that because of the contending and the contention that's going on in the church. And then he goes on and says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And then he says this: but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. The things that are happening and have happened in your life and my life is to increase the capacity so that the greater expression of Christ can come forth. If you lose sight of that, you can get wearied in the process, not recognizing that where you're at right now, what God is walking you through, has the potential to increase the capacity. That capacity that's being increased is so a greater measure, a greater manifestation of Christ can come forth in you. With that greater measure is greater grace. Is this making sense to you? This is the year of extraordinary grace released. The grace that God places on your life, my life, is specific to who He has purposed us to be. This grace is not transferable. There's your grace, there's my grace. There's things I can do in the grace of God, you can't do in the grace of God. Because it's different grace. There's things you can do through the grace of God that I can't do. God in His wisdom ties it all together, brings it all together. Paul is most specific in understanding the grace that's on his life. The church today, members of the body of Christ, would do well to understand what you're supposed to be doing with the grace that's on your life. When Paul had that Damascus Road experience, he didn't run right out and try to be like the 11, the ones that were left. God had a special assignment for him. Paul comes into the understanding of recognizing that, knowing that, and getting okay with the grace. Paul had a grace on his life to get beat up. He had a beat up grace. Paul had a grace on his life to be out in the sea with no boat, treading water. I don't know how many nights and days it said. Paul had a grace on his life that when they tried to kill him, he wouldn't die. Paul had a grace on his life to suffer. You know what? How many of us that God? God, just give me that suffering grace. No, we want that overcoming grace. We want that prosperity grace. We want that a victorious grace. Now, I want you to understand, within the extraordinary grace, all of that is there. But Jesus made it clear for Paul. He says to Ananias, I need you to talk to him because I need him to know the things that he will suffer. Now, if it helps, then take out the word suffer and just put in the word persevere. A persevering grace. Paul had a persevering grace. It didn't matter what it was, what he had to go through. He relied on the grace to get him through it. He believed in divine intervention. He experienced divine intervention. He experienced the grace of God through divine intervention more than once. When he was on that boat, on that ship with those men, divine intervention, angel showed up, gave him a word, said, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, 1 through 12, I'm not going to read all of it. I want you to be able to read through it. But I'm going to read a few highlighted points that I have here. This is what Paul says. He says, "For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, for the sake of the Gentiles." He's saying, I know what I'm doing. I'm suffering through what I'm suffering through for the sake of the Gentiles. He says, "If indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given me to you." Verse 7, he says, "I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power." It says, "To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles." So Paul recognized this is a very specific grace. The 11 didn't get it. The one guy they voted in didn't get it. As a matter of fact, when they voted in, that tried to replace Judas. That's the only time you heard of him. You don't hear about him ever again, because that wasn't God's intention. The replacement of Judas was Paul. And Paul was the one that God was going to use to minister to the church, the Gentile churches. He used Peter to bring salvation to the Gentiles, but he knew Peter wasn't the guy to disciple him. Paul would have that opportunity. Paul would have that grace. So in this season of extraordinary grace released, I want to remind you of these points that I shared on New Year's Eve, and I'm closing out. In this year of 5785 or 2025, whichever way you view the year, will be a year of stepping into large places. A place where you can breathe, where burdens are lifted. This will be a year where things are going to fall off. I got two hands and three hallelujahs. This is going to be a year when things fall off, where you're able to move in a freedom and a greater fullness of the Father's plan for your life. Come on, that's a good time to clap. I'm trying to build this expectation for you. The word of the Lord is as it was spoken in the book of Isaiah, chapter 54, which says, "Shout for joy, O barren one. You who have borne no child," meaning you have not seen any fruitfulness. "Break forth into joyful shouting and cry aloud, you who have not travailed. For the sons of the desolate one, will be more numerous than the sons of the married woman, says the Lord." And then he says this, "Enlarge the place of your dwelling. Enlarge the place of your tent." What he's saying here is prepare. Get ready. Make room. Make room. Make room. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Spare not. Lengthen the cords and lengthen your pegs. Strengthen your pegs. "For you will spread abroad to the right and to the left." He's talking about increase coming in this year. Increase coming in this year. In the year 5785, 2025, it's going to be a significant time of transition and new beginnings. We will be invited to pass limitations. Past limitations. I'm talking about those self-imposed limitations. You know that we've taught here breaking the stronghold of self-imposed limitation. Come on, just take your hand and put it on your temple right now and say, mind, you will get free in 2025. I will not be limited by any thoughts that would hold me back. I declare, mind, you will be free. And I will step into the divine purposes that the Father has intended for me. Now thank him for that right now. Come on, thank him for that right now. I want you to recognize that in this year, it's going to be a year of spiritual growth and maturity. I spoke a word very recently on this place of maturity. If you go back and you look at the little thumb, what's it called? The thumb? Thumbnail. I changed it. I changed the message. Rated M. Yeah. For mature believers. I should have said for mature believers only, but I didn't want to do that. Rated M. Rated M. Because hear me. And I'm wanting you to really grab a hold of this. Everything in your life that you've walked through as a believer, God has purposed to use it to bring you into mature places, into strong places in him. And it's in this year that he will, the grace, the level of grace will meet your level of maturity. It will meet you there in that place of maturity. You've got to keep before you. I have not gone through what I've gone through just to go through it. You've got to talk to yourself and say, I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better now. I'm stronger, I'm wiser, I'm better now. I can handle more. Bring it on. My capacity has increased. Don't believe me. Just watch. Going to move past the limitations. There will be grace to embrace change and overcome challenges. Isaiah 42, verse 9. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now declare new things. I declare new things. I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. I want to say this to you. Over the next 21 days during this time of fasting and prayer, as you give yourself to quiet times, God's going to speak some things to you. He's going to speak some things to you, not just for you, but for others around you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the end of the earth. Former things have passed away. I declare new things. In 5785 or 2025, many will begin to see God's plans with greater clarity, experiencing revelation that opens new possibilities for their lives, relationships, and callings. Now listen, this is the year to get unstuck. This is the year to get unstuck. When I talk about getting unstuck, I'm also talking about getting unstuck in your mind. Quit living in the past. The freshness of the grace lies in your future, not in your past. Isaiah 43, the Message Bible, verse 16, says, this is what God says. If God builds a road right through, says the God who builds a road right through the ocean, who carves a path through pounding waves, the God who summons horses and chariots and armies to lie down and then can't get up, They're snuffed out like many candles. Talking about Egypt, talking about Pharaoh when he brought them out of Egypt. It says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? He's saying to us, I'm showing you. Look at it. Look forward. I'm showing you. Look at it. Look forward. As we step into this year, 5785, 2025, as we posture ourselves in this season of fasting and prayer, know this, God is shining his light into the areas of our life where there's been confusion, darkness, or misunderstanding, bringing divine revelation to guide and direct you into a future filled with hope. The clouds are dispelling. The darkness is lifting. The shroud is coming off.
Thank you, Lord.
In the 21 days, you'll be singing, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. No, I didn't sing that part. Now, don't try to. But it's true. I can see clearly now. The rain is gone. Okay, y'all just going to keep trying to sing it, huh? And I want you to notice this part in this word here. He sees the ways you've been mistreated, and he desires to set you free from every form of bondage, fear, and stronghold. In 2025, there's grace to get completely free. There is grace to get completely free. God is going to reveal hidden truths, expose lies, and give you the understanding you need to walk in perfect alignment with his will for your life. In 5785, 2025, be open to and expectant of divine opportunities. We are in the times and seasons now where God is calling us to step into his plans and his purposes. During this time of fasting and prayer, pray to get in sync with and stay in sync with Holy Spirit so that you can discern the kairos, the season, so that you can know what to do with the chronos, the succession of moments. Chronos is the season. I mean, Kairos is the season. Chronos is the moment by moment. Lastly, and I'm done with the slides, Deborah. Quit living your life as if you're living in a deficit. Quit living as if you're living your life in a deficit. And what I believe Holy Spirit spoke to me when he said that is, quit living your life like you're always trying to catch up. The Bible says that you and I are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We exist in his kingdom that places us outside of the world system. And if we can elevate our thinking, discipline ourselves in every area of our lives, we can move to the place where we're not living our lives out of a place of deficit. Where I'm trying to catch up. I'm just trying to catch up. I'm just trying to catch up. That's a deficit mindset. This is a year of extraordinary grace release. Favor is going to show up in ways you could never imagine. Look for the favor. Empowerment will come on those who understand that when you say yes to his will, yes to his way, and yes to his assignment, the grace, the empowerment will be there. You will experience a heightened sense of awareness of who he is and who you are in him. In this coming year, as you acknowledge and walk in the extraordinary grace that's released.